Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mahvidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantih. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So we'll start the chapter 8 today. We finished, no? The chapter 7. Did we finish the chapter 7?
Yes.
We finished the last 2 points, no?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so reading from the chapter 8, offenses to be avoided. So then here is list of 32 offenses to be avoided in the process of serving the Lord. Okay, so we'll do it like before, then we'll just read through it and then we can go one by one. It may be quicker this time. So, first is, one should not enter the temple of the deity in a car or palanquin or with shoes on the feet. Two, one should not fail to observe the various festivals for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Janmashtami and Rathayatra. Three, one should not avoid bowing down before the deity. 4. One should not enter the temple to worship the Lord without having washed one's hand and after eating. Hands and feet after eating. 5. One should not enter the temple in a contaminated state. 6. One should not bow down on one hand. 7. One should not circumambulate in front of Shri Krishna. 8. One should not spread his legs before the deity. 9. One should not sit before the deity holding the ankles, elbows or knees with one's hands. 10. One should not lie down before the deity of Krishna. 11. One should not accept prasad before the deity. 12. One should never speak a lie before the deity. 13. One should not talk very loudly before the deity. 14. One should not talk with others before the deity. 15. One should not cry or howl before the deity. 16. One should not quarrel or fight before the deity. 17. One should not chastise anyone before the deity. 18. One should not be charitable to beggars before the deity. 19. One should not speak very harshly to others before the deity. 20. One should not wear a fur blanket before the deity. 21. One should not eulogize or praise anyone else before the deity. 22. One should not speak any ill names before the deity. 23. One should not pass air before the deity. 24, one should not fail to worship the deity according to one's means. 25, one should not eat anything which is not offered first to Krishna. 26, one should not fail to offer fresh fruits and grains to Krishna according to the season. 27, after food has been cooked, no one should be offered any foodstuff unless it is first offered to the deity. 28, one should not sit with his back towards the deity. 29, one should not offer obeisances silently to the spiritual master, or in other words, one should recite aloud the prayers to the spiritual master while offering obeisances. 30, one should not fail to offer some praise in the presence of the spiritual master. 31, one should not praise himself before the spiritual master. 32, one should not deride the demigods before the deity. Okay, so as we see, all these offenses to be avoided are based on our relationship with the Lord. So we see that why they are supposed to be avoided is that many times puts us in the position either that we neglect the deity or we consider ourselves more important deity or anybody else, and that will be a problem. So here these are just to set the mind properly, such a way to understand that we are the servants.
Okay, so one should not enter the temple of the deity in a car or palanquin or with shoes on the feet. Now, why is that?
Because you, out of respect, then you take the shoes off, you wash your feet before going to the temple, and that way, then you show your humble attitude. So that's, in that state, then you are now putting yourself under the Lord's influence, or under his charge, that you are his servant. Then, it's the respect for the Lord, respect for his property, which is the temple. And then also the practical thing that you wash your feet, and once it also shows the respect that you don't want to make things dirty because it doesn't belong to you, but that also shows your proper attitude. And we have also later on that after eating one should wash his feet. So then we will come to it. Why actually? What is the problem with the feet? And what is the problem if we don't wash feet and just wear socks everywhere? Then what's the problem with that? So we will come to it. Palanquin or car? No, that's, again, you are the center of the attention. You are in the position that of respect, like right in the army. Then those soldiers the foot soldiers, they are the lowest rank. Then those who drive some vehicle or they drive the horses, so then they are naturally the higher rank. So if we consider ourselves as a servant, then we would naturally just get off the vehicle, whatever it is, and then enter the temple on our bare feet. Even the kings do that. Even nowadays, the king of Puri, before the Ratha Yatra, he comes barefoot in front of Jagannath and he sweeps. No, in front of him before the Ratha Yatra starts. So if even the king can get humble such a way, so then why not us? It's no difficulty in that. In other, actually, it will make us more realized. Okay, is this point clear?
So So second, one should not fail to observe the various festivals for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Janmashtami and Ratha Yatra.
So festivals, again, daily duties, what we do daily, that's nice, that's our sadhana. But when we want to offer something special, we want to say offer some gift, offer something to the Lord, festivals are for that. So daily we may have some routine, and we may, if there are no changes, then we may get too familiar with it, and sometimes we may not even know why we are doing things. So festivals, we do something special. Just on the, it can be fasting, it can be more rounds, it can be some special service to be offered, something for the Lord. So then it makes us understand actually what is our position. And because the familiarity with, if we get into routine and then we forget actually why we are doing it, it's very dangerous. Because then it may make us completely forget what we are actually doing and for what. Yes.
So would it be advised to, let's say these extra services, would it be advised to make them up from time to time? Or let's say on Janmashtami I chant 16 extra rounds every year, or is this...
Well, you see, don't give promises like that. Mm. You see, this Janmashtami you may have the time to chant another 64 rounds. So then you do it. Mm. Then next year, Janmashtami, somebody asks you, can you help us now with this service? We really need... And then you say, no, I cannot because I'm chanting my rounds. So that will not be very wise. No, Krishna sees, okay, you are sincere. So then next year, he will just arrange that. Okay, let's see what he will do. Maybe he can do that service. So then through the devotees, he will arrange that you can do some other service for him. Mm. If that happens, that through the devotees it comes, you should take the advantage of, and you should actually be happy that you can do something, and rather do that. And if you get extra time, then whatever rounds you can chant, now you chant. But during the special occasions, you should be looking for something. What extra can I do? And then as it comes. If you already have some arrangements that... in the temple you have certain position, and then you are a cook, so that means that that day you are going to be doing a feast. There is no question of that you are not in the kitchen, right? But it can be that while in the kitchen, then you can do something special this year, and next year something more special, something else. Or that you may take your kitchen out of the temple and cook outside, and because there will be so many pilgrims. It can be adjusted, but you are, it's your responsibility to see that the pilgrims, the devotees, will get fed. Yeah, so that's your service. And then if you can do it, that you arrange that other devotees would take care of that, and then you will have more time to oversee that the quality is being maintained. Because many times when you do it yourself, then you cannot really see everything, how it's happening, because you are absorbed in the thing which you are doing. But if you are capable of delegating to somebody and seeing that everything is happening, then that may be another approach. Because you have to see, if you are in charge, you have to see that things are happening properly. So you are responsible. Yeah? But that's your service. So, festivals are always small. Many times, before, it was during, from what I understand, during Prabhupada's time, when devotees visited some temple, immediately they would went and ask, can we help somehow? Mm. In the kitchen, cutting sabjis, or cleaning, or can we help? It was the first question. Then there was kind of like, what's there to eat and where we will sleep? But first, what can we do? Nowadays, when you have devotees coming somewhere or visiting, it's relaxing, and then just enjoying the mood. But very few come and ask, no, what can we do? Like Gopinath Festival, yes, everybody is not, it's the festival is there for the devotees to relax. So then the devotees, no, the Mayapur devotees, no, they do all the services, and the other devotees, no, they just relax and they have a nice time. But some devotees do complain that, no, it's too much of not doing anything. So there should be some opportunity that the devotees who want to perform some service, something. Maybe serving prasadam, or no, well, in the kitchen, or something with the management, some organization, something this. So they should be not able to do. Because, no, relaxation, it's not only passive relaxation. Good relaxation is also active relaxation. And in fact, besides just relaxing, then you get the opportunity to perform service in the Holy Dham. But I'm not sure if this is actually being emphasized enough. Now, like we have the serving during festival. Before it was nice serving, devotees sitting in the lines, and it was opportunity for devotees to come and serve. Never complains that the devotees have some health problems or anything. So it came from serving like that as a buffet system. Mm. No. What the reason exactly is, I don't know. Mm. But then this opportunity could have been given to the devotees coming for the festival and taking the opportunity to serve devotees, and they would benefit. Yes. But they are being deprived. They cannot. Yes.
Sometimes, when I was about to become a trainee, temple authorities that is like to send devotees for Gopini because there's no. So what are you going to do with the first service?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they would ask them.
Yeah. What? If you wanted to go.
Yeah.
You know, can I go for Gopini?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's true, because then after that the mood is I'm just for 1 month I was not doing anything. No, so it takes some time again to get into the schedule. Thing. Yeah, it's true. Yes.
Shay, you were talking about how before the attitude is different than now. That in the sense that they would be more willing to live like working.
I'm not saying the attitude, I'm saying from what I heard about the mood and the devotees, and especially brahmacharis, would be that come to the temple and then the first thing they ask, what can I help with? But nowadays you don't see it.
My question is, why is that? That now they're not like that, as opposed to how you see
it? Well, before also with that mood, then was more important what is my responsibility, and not looking much what the facilities I have are. Nowadays it's more kind of like what's my facility, and not looking much what the responsibilities are. So what was the change is that it's in the mentality a little bit, because the devotees, before they were very much surrendered, they were very much dedicated immediately to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, right? As we said, now Srila Prabhupada said, okay, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy, be sublime. And then the devotees took it and they went out, and because of the happiness, devotees and the normal people, they were asking, what it is? And then they gave the realization, right? So because of that, then they also chanted and they also got they were happy. But if that's not being emphasized, that actually the chanting of the holy name is the most important, then what it happens that people take it the same way as we are not this body, right? And then sometimes we may use it for our own advantage, the way we want. But as we read before, if we maintain the material attachments, it will be not possible to progress in the devotional service. So we may know the knowledge, we may know so many things, quote this, that, but where is the realization coming from? From applying it. So we have to be also seeing it, how do we apply it? So then we have to contemplate on how do we apply it ourselves. That we are not this body, that then why do we prefer this car and not that car? What does it matter if we are not this body? The soul doesn't really care which car it's going to be. It's our senses which do. So then it's not very consistent. So then we have to look into ourselves, first of all. So what happened is the approach of some not towards the execution of devotional service. And then Srila Prabhupada did stress that we should be following the Brahmanical culture. Brahmanical culture means cleanliness of the body and the mind, controlling the body, mind and words. Many things. But do we care? If we don't, that's not necessary. Yukta Vairagya. Then maybe, but maybe not. Because we may not care. We may maybe not care to wash our feet after eating or after toilet. Because anyway, what does it matter? But because we do not know the subtle influences, so subtly we will be influenced over a long time, and it happens that the mentality will change. So if it's that not important, why is it anything else important? It's a compromise. And one compromise leads to other. So if we don't mind to go in the socks to the toilet and the same socks we take to the deity room, because anyway, Yukta Vairagya, then the mentality definitely will not be pure. The consciousness will get affected. So, and then the effect of the consciousness will be that we will care a bit less about others. And Krishna may happen to be the first one. Because who gives these rules, right? They are not just some whimsical rules. They are given by God. But maybe there is nobody who can explain. Maybe there is nobody who wants to hear explanation. Because, you can do it like this. I can do it this way because I want. Based on what? Supported Guru Sadhu Shastra. Why don't we serve properly? Who can explain? I did not hear any sufficient explanation. And one compromise leads to other. And then, what you asking for, it happens. Right?
Hare Krishna. Okay, one should not avoid bowing down before the deity. So you come to the temple, right, in the mood of that you are the servant, then you bow down. First you can pay obeisances to the Vaishnavas, no? Then you pay obeisances to the deity. So then you put yourself into the position which you belong to as a servant. It's just another way how to express your attitude. Sometimes you may have a devotee who he may just be fully absorbed in the thoughts on Krishna, that he may forget to wash his feet, he may forget to bow down, just no, go straight. We should not really judge. If it's just he is lazy, then it's not good. But if he is some devotee who, no, he is truly absorbed, then it's not up to us to criticize. We may just tell the authorities that what happened and then let them decide what should be done, how it should be done. But you don't want to offend somebody who should not be offended. But it's like this. As long as you remember, you feel the need that you should wash your feet, you should pay obeisances, then avoiding that, it's just being a hypocrite. It's not nothing to do with spontaneity. Devotees on the platform of spontaneous devotional service, they spontaneously are doing some service and they forget. It's not that they are, oh, should I or should not? No, okay, I'm actually Raghunuga devotee, so no, I should not offer. No, that's not Raghunuga Bhakti. Please don't mistake on that, that way. As long as one is remembering that one should, so thinking should I should not, then definitely you should do what you are supposed to. But sometimes it happens. Okay, you are carrying something, right? You are carrying maybe a deity, or you are carrying a book and like that. Then you may not physically be able to pay your businesses, but then you should was the later one, you should not pay with one hand. So if you cannot do anything with that, then at least mentally you pay obeisances, but you are doing service. So then don't compromise one service for other. That also will not be good. Putting book on the floor just because you want to pay obeisances, it's an offense. Yes?
Is it better to pay obeisances with one hand than to not pay obeisances?
No, okay, why would you pay obeisance in one hand? Means what?
Because you're carrying something.
What is it, something? No, but then what, you will hold the book in the left hand?
Hold it like this?
No, it's not, one should not do that.
So, then one should just pay obeisance?
If you can, and then hold the book kind of like in the hand, so then that doesn't touch the floor, if you are expert in that, you can try. Or just give it to somebody to hold it. But it's better if you just you pay obeisance. Ask for forgiveness that you cannot because you are having the holding the book. Or you have some elevated platform, maybe put the book there and then pay obeisance. Yes.
So what about when we're sitting in the Padmachan class and the holding group? Should we pay obeisances also?
Well, you're in the class. Mm-hmm. So when the altar opens, then mentally you should pay. But you should be fully absorbed in what's going on on the class, because that's your service. you should not be sitting, you know, back to the deity. Sometimes, it was just 2 weeks ago, no matter, I was giving class, and then everybody's around. So then the devotees shouldn't be sitting that way, that they are, you know, facing back to the altar. Should be a little bit differently arranged. So then, at least sideways to the deity. No, not really back. And then, you should acknowledge the Lord, but you should not, see, it's, again, sometimes it's very spontaneous, right? Devotees are on Mangalarati, and then, say, you know, sannyasi comes. So then some immediately pay obeisances, and some are absorbed in, in the Gurvashtakam. But they just, continue singing. So it works out. But, the service is, you're already, on the Mangalarati, you are already, approaching the Lord, you are singing for the Lord or doing. So then, that's, you're doing, for the pleasure of the Lord, right? So that's what your guru anyway wants. Now, if you take it, that's your service, so you are already engaged in the service to the Lord. So you see your guru, so then, and then you are in front of deities, then again, mentally, you should pay obeisances, but no, physically, if it affects your service, if it affects anything, what you are doing now, then it will not be the best. Like I was saying, on sometimes devotees during Tulsi Arati, and then everybody pays obeisances after they water Tulsi, and the kirtan is going on, and the devotee with the miranga, he just puts it on the side and stops playing, with the karta stops playing. And then if it happens that they both pay obeisances at the same time, then just the kirtan stops fully. So how is that service? So the mood of service is the first thing, the most important. So, and you see, the mind works such a way, so then we can absorb the mind in one thing at a time. The mind is very good in multitasking. So you can do many things at once by, for a moment, focus on this, moment on this, moment on that. Like you can watch TV, read newspaper, talk on the phone, right? Talk to, your wife and, maybe also you can play chess, right? I don't know. If somebody is expert in then, they can do some, all these things together. But neither of those get full attention. So you may be expert and then do all these things, but neither will get full attention. Like you have those chess players and they can play with, 10, 15, 20, at once. So then they just go and then just move the pieces. So then they focus at the moment, but they are not fully focused. If they would get some opponent who is really good, then they have to put more focus on the dead. So, always remember Krishna means always. Means we are always focused on Krishna. So if we can do that, we are already focused on Krishna. And if it's by singing, we are fully focused on Krishna. Haridas Thakur is fully focused by chanting the holy name. He didn't have to do anything else. Other devotees, constantly thinking about the Lord. They don't have to do anything else. This is their sadhana. That's their perfection. For us, because we are conditioned, so then we need to, for the sake of our mind, to change things. But eventually, we want to come to the point that we can always remember the Lord. So, if we can cook for the Lord by constantly remembering the Lord while we're cooking, it's a perfection. If it's singing, or if it's driving car, then it's a perfection. So that's what we should achieve. So when we are doing our service, we should want to be fully focused on the activity. And if we are fully focused on the activity, there is no space for no any other activity. That means 100% focus. Yeah? Yes, Mataji. Well, I mean, you're already chanting Gayatri, you're absorbed in the Gayatri. So, you should not be looking around, first of all, now, who is coming. And when Parikshit Maharaj now comes to the Brahmana, he's meditating. Okay, so he got upset, but he knew he should not. He was fully absorbed in his sarana. Okay, if they won't talk to you and you are conscious of it, then stop chanting the Gayatri and then approach. But if it's just going by and there are nothing specifically to do with you, then you are absorbed in the activity. Yeah, so then that's and then when you finish chanting, you see the sannyasi, you offer obeisances. Because if you don't stop chanting or while chanting the obeisances, then what do you do? Neither the obeisances nor the Gayatri is done properly. So what benefit do you get? If you are conscious, okay, he is there, it's your guru, and then you just see him for a moment, stop chanting, offer obeisances the way you know it should be done. And after it, start again. Yeah? Yes? Sorry? Mm-hmm. Well, it's in the temple. No, it's just how it is arranged. Best will be that everybody is now sitting at least sideways to Srila Prabhupada, or at least there should be that Srila Prabhupada has a direct line of sight. No, that the devotees don't sit such a way, so then the speaker doesn't see Prabhupada and Prabhupada doesn't see the speaker. So that's, but if it can be arranged another way, then it should be. Yeah? At least, see, if you need to sit, okay, if there is no other space, and you are sitting back to the deities, please just be conscious of it, and then, pray for forgiveness. Okay, this is, I am aware of it, but I have to be here and I have no other way how I can sit, so then please forgive me. That should be the attitude, not that kind of, anyway, who cares? That's wrong. But I don't have another space, I have to sit, and it's back to the deities, please forgive. And that's the attitude. If I could sit another way, I would do that. So that should be, if that's in the mind, then it's understood. And that can be taken as, it's corrected. But if you do it, well, anyway, this is the simplest way. Why should I think about how to sit? Anyway, who cares? That's wrong. That should not be our thought. Yeah? Like we can sit, maybe if there is some pillar, so then, behind the pillar, so then we are not showing our back to the deity. No. Many ways can be, but we should not be also behind the speaker, because the speaker also should not be, looking, all the way, no, behind. So when during the class, everyone should be not in front. So maybe doing the lines, if there are so many devotees, will not really work. So therefore, no, it's more compressed than the devotees are closer. So that's the way how it works. But we should be thinking, maybe we should arrange it such a way, so maybe in the new temple, we should make it that doesn't have to be this way. So we have that in mind. How to make it so then the speaker can talk to many devotees at the same time, see them all, but the devotee is not being back to Srila Prabhupada or not back to the deities. It takes little contemplation, little thinking to find some solution, but I'm sure it can be found. But we have to first of all understand that we have to think about it. If we just put things together without considerations, without thinking about, then it will not work out. Because we are not conscious. Yeah? Okay. One should not enter the temple to worship the Lord without having washed one's hands and feet after eating. So we have to understand it's not only for those who are doing puja. We are entering the temple to worship the Lord. Worship the Lord means seeing the Lord, means being part of the arati, means paying obeisances. You are already worshiping the Lord. So it's not that that's only for the pujaris and then we don't care. No, that's for all the devotees. After we eat, then naturally washing hands, right? That's everybody understands. Unless just lick it off and then it's clean, so then there is no need for it. Or just wipe it in the dirty and then it's done. Okay, but generally devotees have no difficulty with that. Now, for washing mouth, then that's also quite, if you don't wash your mouth, then you will probably visit a dentist more often. Now, Srila Prabhupada also, how he would do that, at the end of eating, he would drink a little bit of water. Not much. It's not good to drink too much of water right after eating. But few sips. And then, wash the mouth. And then just swallow the water, right? So you rinse it, but you swallow it. So, and then when you go to the pumps, you rinse your mouth, but no prasad will come out when you spit it out. But the mouth should be washed properly. Because if there are some pieces and anything, so that will start affecting the teeth. Now the dentists say that you should brush your teeth after every meal. But if you wash your mouth a few times, rinse it properly, not just put water and spit it properly, actually rinse it. And you do it right after the eating, then you don't have to wash, you don't have to brush your teeth after every meal. But if you don't do it immediately, then the bacteria starts producing the plaque, which is very sticky, and then by rinsing it, you don't get it off. So again, very practical. You, from the very young age, you learn how to wash your mouth after eating, then you will avoid or at least have much less problems with the dentists. And when you wash your mouth, then naturally also you feel very, very clean. So that also shouldn't be much problem. Now the problem becomes with the feet, right? Why do we have to wash our feet. No, we don't eat with the feet, at least some. No. But most, okay. But the feet also get contaminated while we are eating. So, and then when the feet get contaminated, then they become like a gateway for subtle living being. And not a good subtle living beings, it can be bad ones. So if you do keep yourself clean, you keep your hands, your mouth and your feet clean, then you protect yourself from those kind of subtle living beings which would like to invade your body. So, practical. And doing that, then you are pure. So then, you can enter the temple in a pure state. Yes. Okay, sleep with wet feet, yes, you should not. Because when the feet are wet, they are cooler, they cool down. When you go to sleep and you have very, very cold feet, then the whole body may cool down too much, you will get cold. You should have your feet warm. As well as Prabhupada, no? We keep our feet warm and then head cool. Anyway, yeah, you should not. You see, wet things have also a problem that they attract dirt. You should not enter with wet clothes into the temple. You should not be wearing wet clothes, because wet clothes are not considered clean or pure. Why? Because they attract dirt. So it should be properly dried. But but you wash your feet and then they will dry. You should be walking on path which is clean, not dirty. And they dry. So you don't have to really worry much about that. But when you go to sleep and then you go to sleep with wet feet, then there is... it's a problem. It's actually from Ayurveda that you may get sick. Yeah? Yes?
I saw two devotees having a small picnic in the temple room this morning at japa time. So would it be proper for me to go over to them and just nicely say to them that it's maybe not a good idea?
Well, like I'm eating something or...
Yeah, they were sitting, chatting and eating something.
Should be. Well, tell them nicely.
Yeah.
And then you see their mood. If they just, buzz off, and well, what can you do? But if you... They may actually be very happy that somebody did tell them. Now, some devotees, not even wearing dhotis, they come in lungis and like that. The authorities also should be a little bit more careful, because this is a dress of sannyasis and babajis, not anybody else's. So for home use, it's okay. But like in the temple, it's not considered, it's inappropriate. In Vrindavan, many do. Everybody is very spontaneous. In Mayapur, it wasn't like that, but it's a little becoming. Lungi. No. Devotees should be... No, Grihasthas and Brahmacharis and Vanaprasthas should be wearing dhotis.
Yeah.
There are some devotees coming in Lungi, and they are neither sannyasis nor babajis. That should not be. The authorities should tell them, and not fighting, not throwing them away, but at least just inform. Maybe devotees don't know.
No, as far as I could see, they didn't know. I mean, they were smiling and chatting, yeah. And it just looked like they were so, just completely unaware of
it. Yeah, so somebody should just come and say, look, it's not good to eat in front of deities, no, just take it outside and eat there. No, with nice mood of concern, but not like, no, you are a nonsense, no, you don't know. Yes. If there is no other way, then it's more like a symbolically, right? Sometimes when you are, say, like in a public toilet, and then you use the toilet, and then everything is dry, right? There is no way how the water can go, and there is no way how you can actually even use a tap, right? So then, getting from the sink water and then just splashing on your feet, which may even there may be some carpet and something like that, then you will probably be not appreciated at all. So what can you do? So sprinkle and then sorry, I could not do anything better because I'm in this situation. Or like in the plane, right? No, you are now in the little thing, and then some buckets you are pouring on your water, on your feet, and the water starts leaking out. Somebody will probably come and just, what are you doing here? And then maybe they will just ask you not to use the bathroom again, and then don't fly with us. And maybe they will even say, well, no, the ISKCON devotees don't know how to use toilets, no, we will not want them on the board. You never know. So we should know, we should be conscious of what is the situation and adjust according to that. But it's not that we are giving up our values. That's the maximum we can do at the moment. But that doesn't mean that, okay, because I did it in the plane, now I can do it all the time because it's the same thing. No, it's not true. Yeah? So, again, it's just being conscious. Using the common sense. Yes?
This point about not eating in front of the deities, that's also when the horse is closed.
No, when it's closed, then you may use that temple room, but it should be quiet, because generally when order is closed, the deities are resting. But sometimes it depends that the altar, means the deity room is the only room which the temple has. So where else will you take prasad? So you arrange that everybody says, but okay, chanting Hare Krishna and then chanting the mantra, that's okay. But we should not be, still talking nonsense, and we should not. And as soon as we finished, we should just pack up, get out of the room, clean it up, and have it ready for the altar to be opened. Yeah? But again, the consideration, we have to be conscious. The consideration is, it's not our room. Now, we cannot do anything we want here. So, if that's there, then we can use that. But we have to be conscious that we are using somebody else's thing. So how do you use somebody else's thing? Very carefully. Yeah? Yes?
Sometimes devotees, I've seen that they don't offer their obeisances to the ladies when the door to the altar is closed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, when the altar is closed, so then the deities are either resting, or they are being, the puja is being done for them. So the attention is already on something else. Now, you don't have to come, because by paying obeisance is to the deity specifically, you are asking for their attention.
Because that's what darshan is, right? No. So then you are there paying obeisances, and then there is you are looking at the deities, you get the darshan. But if the door is closed, you don't know what's happening there. So maybe the deities are taking bath, and when you pay obeisances, they want to reciprocate. But then why would you take their the focus from actually the pujari is already interacting with them? So since we don't know, it's better if in mind then you offer obeisances, but then don't disturb. You can offer somewhere on the side, but wait for the door to open. When door opens, take darshan, pay for obeisances. Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes I notice, in particular in this temple, in front of Nrisimhadev's altar in the morning, when the pujari is addressing the Nrisimhadev, there'll be a whole crowd of devotees waiting when the door opens a crack to take darshan when he's being dressed and pay their obeisances. So, is that proper to do? Like, is it okay to take darshan when the Lord is being dressed?
No. Actually, the best will be if there is some also curtain. So if the, when the door is being opened, then you don't see anything. You see the curtain. That will be the best. Like, there are Marva altar, doors are opening, but there is already curtain, right? No, so, but okay, whatever, it's not done that way. But devotees should not be just trying to really get the sneak in, kind of like, how Mishmar looks like when he is without clothes, and it's not. Why are we trying for that? Wait for the darshan. If you really want to do that, become pujari. Then you go to Nishma without clothes, every day. But maybe I want to see just once, right? And after that, I have no interest, again, do anything like that. So, why?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.